We've been looking at wisdom as a lifestyle for the last 2 weeks, and I just really want to conclude today, and particularly wisdom in resolving conflicts, disagreements. Now, we get our wisdom from the Lord. If we are Christians, our wisdom is from above. We remind ourselves of the words found in James. Look, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Ask God, and he will give it you. You know, this is a wonderful invitation. And we said last week, I guess, every one of us at times are lacking wisdom. If we were not lacking wisdom, we would not need the Lord. We also mentioned that Solomon was obviously a man of wisdom. He was blessed by God. He was granted his request. And of course, we have many proverbs, songs, which were written by Solomon, inspired by the Lord for our instruction. One of the things we said last week is when you read wisdom in the Bible, when you read wisdom in the proverbs, see Christ. Read Christ Jesus. So all of us should be asking God for his wisdom, for his direction, for his guidance. Not all of the wisdom that we are given in our daily life is from the Lord. Some of it obviously comes from our own flesh, and I've just been looking at some of the wisdom that has come from different people, some which clearly is of God, but also there are others which are clearly not of the Lord. Oscar Wilde has made many, many quotes, and one of the things he said rather humorously was, "I am not young enough to know everything." I am not young enough to know everything. But obviously when we're teenagers, we know it all, don't we? And another wise quote was, "Never mistake knowledge for wisdom. One helps you make a living. The other helps you make a life." Wisdom helps you make a life. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Somebody else said, "Sometimes I lie awake at night and ask, where have I gone wrong? Then a voice says to me, this is going to take more than one night." Wisdom, when an argument flares up, the wise man quenches it with silence. "I can please only one person per day. Today is not your day, and tomorrow isn't looking good either." That's not my wisdom. Somebody else's wisdom, which I think was a bit crackpot, he said, "I always arrive late at the office, but I make up for it by leaving early." And one dear man, whether this is true or not, I don't know, but he said, "I haven't reported my missing credit card to the police because whoever stole it will spend less than my wife." So, one of our Christian writers, Charles Swindoll, has had this bit of advice, bit of wisdom. "Life is 10% what happens to me and 90% of how I react to it." And another bit of wisdom, which I don't think is from above. "Older people shouldn't eat health food. They need all of the preservatives they can get." Anyway, let's see what the Lord would say to us. 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. We'll read the final verses of chapter 1, I think. 1 Corinthians in chapter 1, we begin reading at verse 18. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, page 1013 in your Bibles. But the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? But since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. But had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so no one knows the things of God, except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one, For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That's the word of the Lord, and we give thanks to God for it. So here, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is writing his letter to the church at Corinth, but has also been handed to us so that we can learn from it and have faith in the Lord and be obedient to the Lord and the principles that are outlined in this book. Now, clearly, the Apostle Paul loved the church at Corinth, but it was going through many, many challenges and difficulties. And indeed, at the communion service last week, Alex read from 1 Corinthians chapter 5, which obviously goes after what we have just read this morning about the leaven. And it was it's a sobering word. So clearly, all was not well within the church. All was not well, and then there became factions and divisions and so on. Now, the Apostle Paul is concerned that men and women who are born again, who have accepted Christ as their Savior, where Jesus is now Lord of their lives, that they seek the wisdom that is above. Because when we seek the wisdom that is from the Lord, the Spirit of truth, we will know how to handle difficulties and challenges. So here, in the chapters that we have read, the Apostle Paul gives us what true wisdom is, as opposed to the false wisdom of the world. Problems, challenges, conflicts can be ignited, set alight very, very quickly when worldly wisdom, worldly thinking outdoes, takes priority over the true wisdom, the godly wisdom, the Spirit of truth that Paul is talking about here. Our old thinking pattern resembles an iron bar. Once the bar has been bent a certain way and then left to rust, it's very, very difficult to then straighten out the bar, however strong one may be. Now, all of us, and what Pauline brought to us, what our sister brought to us a little while back, is that we are affected. We can be polluted by the world at large and by what the media says and the advertisements which I mentioned the other day. What seems expedient, we can be affected. You'll recall that last week when we were talking about some very practical things about jobs, about who we date and marry, etc., it is what is spiritually expedient, what is right by the Lord should be our governing factor, and what isn't just expedient or the easy path for us. It's what is spiritually expedient. But we are tainted, we are affected, are we not, by all around us, and indeed sometimes from within. And even within churches, when difficulties arise, when perhaps clashes occur, when personalities irk one another, etc., what should be our response? Our response should be the biblical one. But so often, unfortunately, instead of going to Christ and getting his help and taking the principles of this word on board, we seem sometimes, even within church, and perhaps even in leadership, to go to the well of the world to dip our bucket in. And that normally leads to even more problems and even disaster. So I think in verse 12 here of chapter 2, we really, really do need to take this seriously. Because, again, it's talking to you, you who are saved, saved by the blood of Christ, you who have got faith now in the Lord, you have received not the spirit of the world. Hallelujah! You've got something far better. You've got a spirit who is from God. That is an amazing truth. You have a spirit that is from God. And so we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. It's all a gift, isn't it? Received by faith. I just find that so encouraging. So we must, brothers, sisters, allow the Holy Spirit to guide our thinking. As Romans 12 verses 1, 2 says, you know, submit your mind, give it to the Lord, renew it in this, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. We can then discern what is good, what is the acceptable will of the Lord. When we are prompted to make a decision, to make a choice, it doesn't matter really, or it shouldn't matter if we are believers, well, I don't feel like doing it. It doesn't so much come down to feelings, but rather the simple requirement to be obedient, because that's the pathway of blessing. I get so encouraged when I read things like what we just read just now in verse 30 of chapter 1. But of him you are in Christ Jesus. You are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Friends, you know, if we are believing and knowing this and walking in this truth, it is so liberating. And I long to see us, I long to see our homes, I long to see this building really living this out. We will have our challenges, and this is what we're looking at today, our conflicts and so on in our families, at work, in the home, in the church. But hey, we are in Christ Jesus, and we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. And I long to see real joyful vibe, like we had this morning, but even more of it. Really vibrant praise. Because he is worthy. We've been set free. We have the spirit of God. And this verse, which we've just read, verse 30 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, what an incredible truth. It is simply an incredible truth, but it is truth. It's true. We as Christians, as believers, have been realigned with Jesus Christ's finished work. We can be righteous. We can be sanctified. We are redeemed. And Christ's wisdom, the Spirit of God, enables you and me to live godly lives. His righteousness becomes ours through the cross of Jesus Christ. And we are being sanctified by God's Spirit. We have been set apart for God's glory and to do God's work. We are in Christ Jesus. We've received the Spirit of God. Now, what does this all mean? You see, the Apostle Paul's point to us is to remind us, to remind the believers, that through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, through our surrendering to him, we have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you as was in Christ Jesus. What does this mean? Well, it means that we can judge ethical matters rightly. Just as we were discussing just now, as we came to prayer, we can discern what is right, what is bad. This means we can understand the truth. This means we can understand the deep, we can comprehend the deep things of God. But the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. What doesn't it mean? It doesn't mean that we're always right. It doesn't mean that we don't need to read and know the Bible. Because as wonderful it is to know that we have the mind of Christ, that we have the Spirit of the Lord, we're always given a choice about whether we will follow the mind of Christ or ourselves. We're given a choice. And it seems pretty clear, doesn't it, that the Apostle Paul is saying that as Christians, there are two spirits we can draw from. The spirit of the world, which did possess you, that's where you were. All of us. But now you have been redeemed. Now you have been brought back. Now you've been adopted into the family of the Lord. Now that you have a Father in heaven. Now that Jesus Christ is your Saviour and has become Lord of your life, you also now have the Spirit of Christ, the one who actually indwells you. So the spirit of the world or the spirit of Christ. And what I'm trying to emphasize this morning is that when we're involved in challenging situations, when we're involved in conflicts, big decisions, when there's perhaps some sort of enmity at work, in the family, at work, with our neighbors, or in the church, when we become embroiled in a conflict situation, as I say, be it the family, be it work, the church, and emotions become high and tense, don't they? Emotions can become very intense, and maybe deep issues need to be resolved. What spirit are we drawing from? Perhaps there's something which you're facing up to at this moment in time, and it's causing a division, it's causing a conflict, it's causing you perhaps anxiousness and lack of sleep. What spirit? I'm talking to believers, I'm talking to Christians, I'm talking to followers of the Lord. What spirit are you drawing from? If you're drawing from the spirit of the world, we're probably going to make the situation worse. But are we stepping back from the situation? Are we allowing the wisdom of Christ, the fruit of the Spirit, self-control? Are we keeping self-control? Are we allowing the Spirit of wisdom to guide us? And as he uses the Word of God. And where the issues are going to take time to resolve, we do need to constantly check our spirit monitor to determine, are we doing what Scripture commands, or are we going our own way? What well are we drawing from? The spirit of the world or the spirit of Jesus, wisdom from above? Now, in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 3, let me quote, there's a proverb which says this: through wisdom a house is built. Through wisdom a house is built. When Jesus is in control a house becomes strong. Building a good relationship at home is like building a wall. How is a wall built? Brick by brick. And the mortar that holds it together is unconditional, uncondemning, unselfish love. The only way we know how good a job we've done is when it's tested by the storms of life. And friends, one of the most important keys to succeeding at home, for you and for me to succeed at home, is communication. I know we had a little poster on our cupboard. I don't think it's still there. Better look. But I know my wife put it up, so it better not still be up there because it will have got a bit dusty by now. But it says it's good to talk. You know, the old slogan, it's good to talk. Communication. Become creative. Spend time as a family. Spend time as a couple. Spend time. Communications can happen anywhere, but it won't happen unless you make it a priority. We also need to identify the communication killers. And we know what they can be. The internet, the television, and ridiculously so, but it's true, the mobile phone. That's a communication killer. These are the chief culprits, I believe. Do you know, the average couple spends a little less than an hour a week in meaningful communication. But they will spend more than 4 hours a night watching the TV. So friends, we're speaking about the wisdom and what the Lord wants for us so that we can live above the earthly realm, as it were. We need to encourage each member of the family to speak their mind. And when they do, don't immediately criticize or retaliate. I tell you, folk, I'm learning from painful experience. I've been it. I know how I react at times. I know how I've reacted to some of you. And it's a killer, you know, stops all communication. I know it. And it's something that the Lord I had to hand over to the Lord. But we can easily criticize, we can easily retaliate if somebody says something we don't like or we think's unjust. But friends, in the family, in the church, in our business life, difference of opinion can be healthy. If handled right, they can make things better. So this is very practical, and I believe it's wisdom from above. Be conscious of how you interact with your family. You may have adopted unwittingly, a style that stifles communication. Stop and consider 4 things. Do you retaliate that I've just spoken about, which by nature I've always done? Do you retaliate? If you do, it has a degrading effect. Secondly, do you dominate? Is your reaction one of domination? Because that obviously has an intimidating effect. Or do you isolate? Or just walk away and not deal with the problem until it comes about 11:30 at night, and then you raise it. Wrong time. If you isolate, it has a frustrating effect. Or, fourthly, do you cooperate? That has an encouraging effect. That has an encouraging effect. If you are in the habit of using any communication style other than a cooperative one, ask the Lord to help you. Start working on it right now to change it. You'll need to if you're going to build a good relationship with your family, a good relationship in church, a good relationship at college, in business. On Wednesday at the Bible study, we saw from both Galatians and James how, from Galatians' perspective, the fruit of the Spirit mirrors the wisdom that is above. It's one of the same. It's one of the same. And if you have the Spirit of Christ, you have the Spirit of Christ. You are in Jesus. The Spirit in you will produce, as you lay it all before Jesus, the wonderful fruit of the Spirit. Is Christ living his life through you? The good God we have. Verse 12, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given us by God. Freely given to us by God. If we want the power of the Holy Spirit to be active in our lives, it means we need to choose to follow his leadings and actively seek his guidance in our life. We have battles. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 5 says this: we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. If you have the Spirit of the Lord, this is what we do. We need the weapons that are God-empowered, the ones that are mighty in God. We need prayer, Bible reading. We need faith in the living Lord God. We need to know who he is and who we are in him. We pull down everything that is opposed to God's will. Paul is referring to the warfare that is in our minds. He's referring to the arrogance, the rebellious ideas and attitudes. He's speaking about the pride, all which is opposed to the true knowledge of God. We are to bring every disobedient thought into obedience to Christ. We do that because we're in Christ. And we've asked him for his help. And then we see, as some of you have seen, the strongholds come tumbling down and down. You're free. No longer are you relying on the cesspool of earthly wisdom, but the pure fountain of the wisdom of Christ. You see, true wisdom, hearing from the Lord, is a gift from God. And yes, it does need to be exercised. It does need to be worked at. It needs to be cultivated. Verse 2 of chapter 2 says, I determine not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That is saying, it's emphasizing that true wisdom is knowing Jesus. Knowing Jesus Christ. Verse 13, these things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. It shows us that the ideas that we have, the words we speak, the decisions we take, the conflicts that need resolving, all should be tested against the benchmark of God's Holy Spirit. And speaking of the church, because if you read on into chapter 3, Paul is saying some pretty tough things. He's speaking of the church. He says that where there is jealousy and strife, where puffed up egos get in the way, is because we're acting as mere men. We're more than mere men and women. We're in Christ. This is incredible. I just really, if nothing else gets through today, what a wonderful thing it is that we're in Christ and we have the Spirit of Christ. We're not on our own. No wonder Jesus could say, hey, I'm going to leave you, disciples, but I'm not going to leave you as orphan. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit. You're not on your own. We've tasted of the earthly wisdom. Doesn't help in the end. It might give us a good shortcut, a quick get out. But it's not eternal. It doesn't help in the long term. So Christians ought not to be worldly. We should not be carnal in our decision making. And yes, the Holy Spirit can and does use conflicts to show us where we are weak so that we can become strong. This is his mercy, friends, so that we can become mature. Paul says, speaking the truth in love, let us grow up into all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. That's Ephesians chapter 4. So may we all be willing to ask the Lord for a teachable spirit. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Colossians 3 verse 15. Conflicts. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let me, as I conclude, just speak about this peace for a moment. When God speaks to us, he does give us a deep sense of inner peace to confirm that the message is truly from him. But I want to say, do beware of false peace. When we have a strong desire to do something, it can produce a false sense of peace that actually comes from the excitement or our determination to follow this path. And we kid ourselves and we can have a false peace. As time passes, of course, this false peace disappears. But if we are the Lord's, God's true will emerges for our lives. We should never move too quickly on important decisions. When the devil speaks to us, he cannot give us peace. When we try to solve things with our own reasoning, we cannot get true peace. But the mind that is controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind that is controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. That's Romans 8, verse 6. So, brothers, sisters, let us lay our decisions on the scales of peace. In decisions that you have to make, in situations that need to be resolved, don't proceed if your inner peace cannot hold its weight against what you think or hear. And sometimes you don't even have to explain to others why you don't have peace about it. And sometimes you don't even know why. Just say, it's not wise for me to do this thing because I don't have peace about it. There's power in having peace. And once you clearly know that you've heard from God, you must do all you can to keep your peace and not become anxious. Peace is an inner knowing that your actions, your decisions are approved by God. Let the peace, the harmony which comes from Christ, rule, act as an umpire in your hearts to which you were called to live. God leads us by peace. His peace is like a cricket umpire who decides what's in and what's out. No peace is out. Wisdom is a lifestyle. You are in Christ, so seek the Spirit of Christ, which he has freely given you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Lord, we pray that we will have that mind that is controlled by you. Thank you, the Spirit is life and peace. What comes from below, what comes from our flesh is death, is angst. But what you give us is life. It's powerful. It impacts. Help us, Lord, to lay our decisions before you, believing that you are leading and will control us. Lord, I pray that for any of us where we have strongholds, which, Lord, if we're using the excuse that we've always been like this, that's the way we react, that's the way we do things. If we're using the excuse where my father was like that and his father before him and Nebuchadnezzar before that, Lord, if we're using this as an excuse, help us to tear that down as well, because we are in Christ. We are a new man. We're a new person in Christ. That which was old is old. The new has come. And the new is the wisdom of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the power of Jesus. Help us, Lord, to set our minds on Christ above, not on things of this world. Help us to first seek the kingdom of heaven. All these things should be added unto you. Help us, Lord, not to lay up treasures on earth where rust and moth will corrupt. But lay up treasures in heaven, in eternity, where it's safe, where our life will prosper, where our soul will prosper. I pray, Lord, for anyone here who's affected by what is happening within the family, tensions with children, tensions with husband, with wife, tensions with grandparents, tensions with in-laws. Help us, Lord, to be godly, Christ-like. Help us not to react as the world reacts. And even, Lord, if we're abused, help us not to retaliate in the way that the world does, because we have the mind of Christ. Lord, we thank you that we are not asking us to be doormats, to be trodden on. But help us not to seek our rights, but what is right by you. I pray healing, Lord, for those who are being infected. The conflicts, arguments, which are being proving unhelpful and unhealthy, will be resolved righteously. For we have the righteousness of Christ. We are being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. We are redeemed. Pray, Lord, for those who are having conflicts in the work environment. Lord, we may not just, as it were, do what everybody else does, but step apart and seek your guidance. We know, Lord, that you honour those who honour you. We sometimes just want to take a shortcut. But Lord, if you're maturing us, if you're growing us in the times of testing, we pray you have your way, Lord. Those who are having to make big decisions, perhaps even this week or in the coming weeks, that they will have the peace of Christ, which passeth all understanding, that true inner peace. They can weigh what has been said and done by the sure knowledge that they have your peace within. This is the way, walk in it. Or if it's not the way, that they will not be pressurized by what other men or women are saying, may not even understand the saying, I know my God is leading and guiding and he does all things well. Thank you, Lord, you are for us. Thank you that if you are for us, who can be against us? Pray, Father, that, yes, Lord, we will surrender our lives, our all to you, as we open up our hearts and lives to you even now. Thank you that you have not left us as orphans, but you are our comforter, you are our guide, you are our counsellor. Thank you, you are leading us into all truth. Thank you for the spirit of truth. It is freedom. It is liberty. It is Jesus. So give us your wisdom, Lord. Please.